coming up, we got Moga, we got Migo, we got Diamond, we got Dell, we got Ultimate Ears. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. You can buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com now. Click on the microphone and enter Before You Buy. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Welcome to Before You Buy, the product review show where we get some interesting and sometimes good, sometimes cool, sometimes weird stuff into the studio. This is going to be a show with mostly weird stuff today. We get our entire staff to review it. We're going to start with a review by Patrick. By Brian, our own technical director, Brian Burnett. He's going to take a look at a new controller called the Moga Pro. Brian?
Hi, Brian Burnett here to show you the Moga Pro controller. Moga, M-O-G-A, is a company that is making Bluetooth controllers for mobile devices, specifically Android, but it will work with your phone and or tablet. Now, when you first look at this, you'll easily recognize that this is pretty much the same layout as the Xbox 360 controller. So if you're comfortable using that controller, this will fit right into that. You've got two joysticks, a D-pad, X, A, Y, B, two bumpers at the top, and then what I like for first-person shooters and for racing games is two very nice triggers on the back here. Another nice thing about the Moga Pro is that it uses rechargeable batteries. So it comes with a USB cable, plug it in, charge it up, and it has 15 hours of battery life. It also has this fold-out tray with an extender on it that is made to hold your phone. But this controller is also aimed towards tablets, so a nice addition that Moga gives you is a little stand to hold your tablet. And the tablet I'm using is a Galaxy Tab 2, which it worked really well with. So when you get the Moga, it connects to your phone or tablet with Bluetooth, and they have the Movica Pivot app that you can download, and it's basically their own software with their own store that you can download, and then the Moga will work automatically with that. If you want to use the Moga outside of the app, you'll need to go to the App Store and download the Moga Universal drivers. I tested this using Sonic the Hedgehog and worked really great for that. Brought back a lot of memories using a controller. Just playing that game doesn't feel right using a touchscreen. Also tried some first-person shooters and it worked really well for that. But having a physical joystick really made the game a lot more enjoyable. So for the pros and the cons, this Moga is really well built. All the buttons feel really good, have nice travel to them, and it's nice that it also has a rechargeable battery in it. One of the cons for the Moga is there is no iOS support, so anyone wanting to play games on their iPad or iPhone won't be able to. It's Android only at the moment. So is the Moga a buy, try, or don't buy? The Moga is definitely a buy. If you are someone who enjoys playing a lot of games on your Android device, this is the control to get for that. The price for the Moga Pro controller is $49.99. And if you're gonna play games on your cell phone or tablet, this is the way to do it. This has been Brian Burnett from Before You Buy, checking out the Moga Pro controller.
Is that the thing that was going
That's this guy.
That's this, ah. The Moga Pro. Well, Brian liked it, so I'm going to have to give it a try myself. Now we give you Chad Johnson. He's going to take a look at the iMigo Throne headphones. Chad?
Hello, my name is Chad. Thank you.
They look pretty cool. They're not that. Hey, I can't hear myself. I'm listening on the headphones. I can't hear them. They look cool, but the sound quality is just kind of average. I think he's right on that. The Imigo throne. I don't know what the throne part means. It's not Game of Thrones.
I hope not.
Just throne. Maybe you're maybe because you'll throw them.
If it's Game of Thrones,
I don't know. They're not. They haven't been thrown. They're unthrown. Hey, our show today brought to you by Stamps.com. What a great idea for any company, small business that does a lot of mailing. Stamps.com means you don't have to go to the post office anymore, but you don't have to buy a very expensive postage meter either. You know, postage meter can cost you something like 8 times more than Stamps.com. I have the statistics right here. Stamps.com lets you buy and print your own official U.S. postage right from your computer, right from your printer. Postage meter ink, it says here, is up to 100 times more expensive than inkjet printer ink. 100 times! Plus, postage meter companies often charge you reset and processing fees on top of the amount of postage you buy. The silliest thing is I sometimes see people with postage meters in the post office. What's the point? The whole idea of this is you don't have to go to the post office anymore. You can stamps.com with a scale. You'll know exactly what class and what cost of postage. You never pay more than you have to for postage. And if you're sending stuff internationally, or you're sending it confirmation, priority mail or express mail, they'll fill out all the forms for you. They'll even, and I love this, send an email to the recipient. It is really pro mailing. The email with the tracking code goes right out to the recipient. You don't have to do it. It'll even pull the addresses right from your address book, from your QuickBooks, or if you sell on eBay or Etsy or Amazon, it'll get it right there too. Look, I shouldn't have to sell this to you. It's obvious. Just try it, and you could decide. Go to stamps.com. You see that $80 special offer? Yeah, stop. No. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Enter our offer code, one word, before you buy. One word, no spaces, before you buy. And that $80 bonus value turn into a $110 bonus value. $55 in free postage. We'll send you that USB scale. You just pay shipping and handling on that. You'll also get a supplies kit and a month of stamps.com. Try it yourself. You'll see why I say this is the pro tip for anybody who does a lot of mailing. Stamps.com. All right, time for review number 3, and this one is Patrick Delahanty. We gave him the Diamond Tab 360. I saw this on his desk. We were trying to figure out what it was. Patrick, what is it?
Hi, I'm Patrick, a digital engineer here at Twit, and I am reviewing the Diamond Tab 360 Universal Racing Gaming Wheel Stand. This is an iPad stand that can be used as a racing wheel for any racing games, flying games, anything where you need to tilt the iPad to play the game. It's compatible with the iPad, iPad Mini, or any other tablet that ranges from 7 to 10.1 inches. On the box of this product, they list that it can be used for racing games, flying games, or lifestyle. On the other side, they say it can be used in the living room, kitchen, or office. Now, I'm not sure what they intend the office use for. I mean, if you're going to use this as a stand, it's kind of a bit elaborate to just use as a stand. It's a racing wheel. I tried out this game with Real Racing by Electronic Arts and Firemint, and the game did improve my scores. Now, I don't know if it was just chance, but through a series of tests, I did discover that I did seem to do a lot better when I was using the wheel, because it restricted my movements to back and forth, left and right, and not putting the iPad all over the place. The bottom of the device has soft pads to prevent marking your furniture and also to try to hold it in place. It doesn't have suction cups like I've seen some racing wheels have. So I did find that with a little aggressive action, the edge of the controller does come off the table. One problem I did discover after racing for a while was that due to the design of the device, my fingers on one hand got really tired. Because it's an asymmetrical design, and I was holding my fingers even on both sides, one side had a nice tight grip, while the other side, my fingers got a little bit smushed and were uncomfortable. And the only way to hold this that was comfortable was to hold it like off center, but that results in the iPad being diagonal. Now, I realize I may not be in the target age for this device, so what I did was I flew to Maine and had my 8-year-old niece try this out and see what she thought. My niece isn't a licensed driver, obviously, and she doesn't play a lot of racing games, but she really did enjoy the driving wheel. She found that while she played, if she wasn't using the wheel and she was just playing with the iPad by itself, she was swerving all over with her entire body and arms, and it was more difficult to control the turns for her. But once she had the use of the wheel, it restricted her to the actual turning of the device. Although I did notice she did have the same problem I had, where the device would come off the table for sharp turns. The racing wheel runs $59.99, which is a bit expensive. For $10 more, you could get the Bluetooth version with speakers. I wasn't able to test the sound out of that, but it's an available option. Pros and cons on this. On the pro side, it seems to improve my race times. I did notice better scores when I was using this device as opposed to when I was using the iPad on its own. It's also adjustable for 7 to 10.1-inch tablets, and kids love it. As for cons, it is overpriced. It's a piece of plastic, and it's $59.99. Also, it doesn't stay level on the table. There's no suction cups or any sort of clamp or grip to keep it attached to the table, so it tends to lift off if you're getting a bit aggressive. And the grip is uncomfortable due to the asymmetrical design. Fingers get a little smashed. My niece didn't have this problem because her fingers are smaller. So buy, try, or don't buy. My niece gives it a buy, but I'm going to have to give it a try because it's just a bit uncomfortable and it's expensive. But if you play a lot of racing games, this may be the device for you. As for me, I don't play nearly frequently enough to warrant $60 on this. I'm Patrick, and this has been my review of the Diamond Tab 360 racing wheel.
I kind of like this, actually. I'm having fun with this. And you're right, Patrick. It is a lot easier to steer if you've got a steering wheel. You know, all of these wheels, whether you're playing on an iPad or on a PC or on a console game, people who are really serious about driving games are going to buy wheels. It's just a better way to do a driving game. And it's the same price, you know, $50-$60. Some of you could, I've seen people spend thousands of dollars on special seats with pedals. And I mean, if you're that serious for a tablet, this seems like a good way to do it. Anyway, Patrick's niece gives it a buy. Patrick gives it a try. The Diamond Tab 360. It's the same diamond. It's diamond like the Diamond Rio diamond. I didn't know they were still around in the sound cards. Kind of a cool idea. And I have to say, I'm terrible at racing games. And for the first time, I actually completed a lap all the way around. We've been talking a little bit about the fact that Microsoft has dropped the price on the Surface to $350, but then if you add a keyboard, that's now $450. And I said to a lot of people, you know, you could probably get a real PC for around $450 to $500. Well, we've got one, the Dell Latitude 3330.
And this is a real PC.
And it's running full Windows. It's got a real keyboard.
It starts at
$439. Shannon Morse has the review.
You know what was the craziest part about this is that it's actually running Windows 7. When it started to boot up, I was like,
7?
What?
It comes
with 7.
Some people will see that as an advantage.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, it kind of is definitely a pro. Some people you can upgrade if you want to. It's highly customizable on their website. So you can buy, you know, the most expensive one and customize it to have 8 gigs of RAM and have a solid state drive and everything. But this is a budget computer.
Right.
It's made and it's targeted for small businesses and for students. So it's definitely not going to be over, you know, $1,000. The For example, the one that I have is $560.
And how is that configured?
So this one has an Intel Core i3 processor in it, so it's a little bit on the laggy side whenever you're trying to stream data or trying to watch a 4K video or something like that. It also has 4 gigs DDR3 RAM, and it has a 320 gig solid hard drive, excuse me. And then it also has, you know, regular
Intel
graphics.
Yeah, you won't see a solid state drive at a price like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It also just has B, G, and N wireless as far as this goes.
That's fine. Nobody has AC.
You can upgrade to AC if
you
really want to.
Right.
Yep. So they do have that option. But I found myself just fine with the wireless. I had no problems with that. The screen is 13 inches. So you get a nice wide screen. It's very nice. I like that it's matte, so you don't have a shiny surface on it. So you don't have a lot of issues with that. And it's a 1366 by 768. So it's a little bit smaller of a resolution. And that's kind of a problem if you want one of those really hardcore resolutions that a lot of laptops have these days.
But typical in a laptop of that price.
Exactly.
And with that kind of performance. I mean, you can't drive a lot of megapixels with an i3. And
right, exactly.
It probably has HD 4000 graphics. It's, you know, it's kind of...
Yeah.
But for a student, this might... Now, the real question is the build quality.
Build quality is actually really exceptional.
Really?
I was very impressed with the hardware. Yeah, so the... exterior, of course, you know, this
plastic.
Is a Dell laptop,
yeah.
It's plastic, and you can tell, but it also has a really nice hardcore battery in the back of it, and it raises it up a little bit, so you get a lot of, you don't have a lot of heat problems with it on the bottom. The speakers are located on the front, which is a great placement for the two speakers. They're just pretty average. There wasn't anything really special about the two of them, but I like that they were on the front instead of on the bottom, so you're not getting muffled interference when you have it on your lap and you're watching, you know, Netflix movies or what have you. The keyboard was probably one of my favorite parts. It doesn't flex. No problems with that. It's full. So I had no problems with that.
Yeah,
it's
nice not, big shift
you know,
keys and return
crappy
keys.
Crappy little chiclet.
Yep,
and you don't have any problems with any of these being smaller than they should be.
That's good.
You have a nice big enter and a nice backspace
and
the delete keys and all those over here.
Really would be a good student laptop.
Yeah, so it was really excellent. Even the touchpad has separate keys right there. So
and how was the touchpad? That's one of the areas cheap computers don't do as well.
Yeah,
really?
I was really happy with it. It even does multi-gesture touching. So I can do, you know, scrolling up and down with two. I can also do the triple and zoom in, zoom out. So they have a lot of extras that you wouldn't think you'd get for this price. All very good, especially for a student. Very impressive. Now, I want to go ahead and give you my pros and cons for this.
Okay.
The keyboard is great. I was really proud of that. The battery life was pretty good. So I tried this out for really, really heavy use yesterday, and it lasted about 4 hours and 40 minutes, which is pretty good. It doesn't take very long to charge, and they say that it can hit up to 6.5 hours, which I'm assuming is correct if you're not playing, you know, tons of HD movies all day, which was what I was doing. And, of course, it's Windows 7, and that's definitely a pro, especially if you're not a big Windows 8 fan. Now, my cons of this, of course, is the i3, the low processing speed, because that is a big problem with this.
Can you get an i5 in it?
You can't.
Okay.
Well, you can customize it and get a
Yeah, but I noticed I don't see it's either a Celeron or is the high end, the
i3. This is the high end is the i3. Yeah, yeah, that's the big problem is that their customization, they say you can upgrade it, but the pricing and the specs that they allow for the regular purchased ones, it just goes up to an i3.
It's a consumer grade laptop.
Yeah, exactly. And there is no solid state drive, which means that you're going to have a little bit lower processing speed with that as well whenever you're trying to read write and things like that.
And it's Windows 7. It's a previous version of Windows.
So that can be a pro or a con.
Depends on whether you want it or not. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So for myself, this isn't the kind of laptop that I would buy necessarily because it has a lot of cons to it that I think are major issues, like the resolution.
Right.
You know, it's a really great laptop for traveling around and bringing with you to a study hall or something like that. It's very lightweight. It's only 4 pounds, a little bit less than 4 pounds, actually. And it's got, you know, all the ports that you would need on both sides. So you have all those extras. And one of these is USB 3.0. I think it's the one on this side, even though it's not colored the normal way.
Let's look at the bottom. Can you unscrew the bottom and add RAM? Or
Yes,
see, it's got that big port on the bottom.
Yeah.
So you could put a bigger hard drive in there, put more memory in there.
Yeah, so you do have that
option. You could upgrade it yourself if you wanted to. Yeah.
And I do like the fact that Dell included that in this laptop.
Yeah.
So I decided to give it a try based on the fact that this would be a really nice option for a lot of people, especially if you're on a budget. You know, at around $500, it's a really good price point. But at the same time, it's not something I would purchase. I would probably save up a little bit more and purchase the like the Acer, the new S7 or something like that.
But it's a good budget choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm very pleased to see that for $500, you can get a decent laptop.
And I can't believe you can still buy laptops with Windows 7 on it. I guess it shouldn't be that
surprising. Good news.
That's great. Whoa, that's so weird.
Yeah. All right, good. A try. Shannon Morse produces the show and also hosts Hack 5 and ThreatWire at youtube.com/techfeed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. We're going to take a break. When we come back, some headphones, high-end headphones for musicians and pros. Tony Wang will have the review. But first, a reminder that our show brought to you by our great friends at audible.com. Audible is the source for 100,000, actually more now, audiobooks in every category. We were talking earlier today about J.K. Rowling. You saw that she sneakily wrote and released a mystery novel, a thriller, under a male name, and has only been outed recently because of her tweets, like in the last couple of days. But what's interesting is Audible has had that novel in audio for some time. The Cuckoo's Calling by Robert Galbraith is actually a mystery novel by Rowling. J.K. Rowling. I knew there was a middle initial. J.K. Rowling. And Andy Anako's been reading. He says it's really good. In fact, all the reviews were very positive for it, which is surprising because they didn't know it was J.K. Rowling. It's just actually great for her. So this is a great 15-hour, 54-minute book. If you like thrillers, mysteries, you're going to love this. And it's free. Actually, we got a lot of free books for you. Anything that's one credit, which is almost 99.5% of the books on audible.com, you can get for free if you go right now to audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. Your first book, your first month is free. Your first book is free. You cancel anytime in the first 30 days. You'll pay nothing, but that book is yours to keep forever. The real challenge is picking your first book. New Stephen King novel. There's all sorts of great stuff on here. History, biography. I listen to a lot of tech books on here. Self-help books, science fiction. Oh, it's a great place for science fiction. Visit it. Take a look around. Pick a book. Then join for the first 30 days free. audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. Your first book is free, too. And we thank Audible so much for their support. Before you buy. Tony Wang, he's our editor-in-chief, the guy in charge of the entire edit staff here. In fact, one of our oldest and longest employees. We're big fans of Tony, and he's big fans of good audio. That's why we thought we'd check out Ultimate Ears. For a long time, I'm using Ultimate Ears right now. It was the musician's choice. You know, you'd see rock bands like U2, Bono would be wearing his Ultimate Ears. Then Logitech bought them. We thought we'd get a review of the new Logitech Ultimate Ears. Tony Wang has them for you.
I'm Tony Wang for Twit and Before You Buy, and today I'm reviewing the Logitech UE6000 noise isolating headphones. Out of the box, these headphones come with a carrying case, an audio sharing jack, and also two AAA batteries. As you can see, there's a power switch right here to turn on the noise isolation. It works really well and reduces noise by 10 decibels. Battery life is about 40 continuous hours of use. These headphones MSRP at $199, and you can get them for less. I've been wearing these headphones for about 6 months now, and I have no discomfort wearing this day-to-day for long periods of time. And if you're using these with your iOS devices, you can answer phone calls, change volume right on the cable itself. The UE6000 gives really, really rich and full audio playback when you're listening to music, and also voice if you're listening to podcasts like what we do here at Twit. These headphones have 40mm driver, so it's pretty big. Pro of the UE6000, noise isolation works really well and comfort level is very high with these headphones. The only complaint I have of these headphones is that the audio jack connects the headphone on the right hand side of the headset, and it kind of gets in the way if you're using this on your desk and you have this hanging off your body and you're right-handed, you're using a mouse and it's constantly hitting this cable. Buy, try, or don't buy, I'm going to give these headphones a buy. The most important part of buying a headphone is the comfort and the audio quality. And this headphone has both. I'm Tony for Trail TV, and Before You Buy, and this is the UE6000 by Logitech.
See, I think these even look better than the other ones. These are good-looking headphones. They sound good. They're a little expensive at $200. Logitech has taken the Ultimate Ears brand and made over-the-ear headphones, too. The Ultimate Ear I use, of course, is an in-ear headphone. These are not, obviously. But, boy, they do feel comfortable. I like them a lot.
I want to try them on.
So did Tony. Here, you may try them, Shannon. Well, that's nice. It for this edition of Before You Buy. I want to thank all of our reviewers, Shannon Morse, Tony Wang, Patrick Delahanty, Chad Johnson, and Brian Burnett. Did a great job, all of you. I want to thank you all for joining us. We do this show around about 3 o'clock Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesdays. Let's see, 3 o'clock plus 12 would be 15 times 2300 UTC if you want to watch live. We'd love it. But otherwise, on-demand audio and video available in a couple of different places on our website, twit.tv, twit.tv/BYB. But you can also find each individual review on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. So if you've got friends who are interested in headphones, for instance, you can just send them a link to that particular review. They don't have to watch the whole show. Hey, thank you so much for being here. I hope you'll watch the whole show each and every week. Remember, you got to watch Before You Buy. I'll see you next time.